Blog Talk Radio.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best
oh my.
Is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, He told me to tell you the best
is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, He wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah. What people told to you ain't true enough.
You ain't seen your best
day. Oh, well,
My. You ain't seen your best day yet.
Stay in the faith, my sister.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
Stay in the word, my brother, my brother, my brother, my brother.
My. Again, we don't own the right to that music, but we wanted to play something again to get ourselves kicked off tonight. Again, I want to make sure you really appreciate what we're trying to do here through the Smith Way production. We're trying to present you an opportunity to be to get knowledge that will help, and hopefully you offer some knowledge back as well so we can give and receive. Again, I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You, and it's just all about just talking about just plain old life issues. And we're so glad to have that opportunity to do that. As I see people add on through Facebook, I thank you so much. Our call-in number, if you want to be a part of the show tonight, just chat and offer your thoughts, is 347-857-4192. And then if you want to check us out on the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. / the Smith Way production. I'm doing a couple things at one time, just trying to make sure I give everybody that click in to make sure I welcome them to the show through a handshake, hand clap, hand raise, or just verbally doing it. Again, we're going to be broadcast not only just on Blog Talk Radio, we're going to be on Facebook. And you can contact if you're not on Facebook or you're doing it by Twitter or either by Blog Talk Radio, you can go to facebook.com/ Dr. Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. And also I have, you can go to Lisa Levine. Lisa, is it Farah? And you can,
Farah,
check her out as well, because we're on this together. We're doing this thing, team, as well as our other co-hosts that join us as well. But Lisa's on Facebook. She's on the stream with me at this time. And I just want to make sure for those connections to be done that way as well. And on Twitter, and an opportunity through Twitter is Lorenzo D. Smith. That's, you know, at Lorenzo D. Smith. So we're glad to have an opportunity to come before you on the three networks. So just keep in mind what we're trying to do. We just try to bring you some just plain old life issues and have a discussion and have a chat about them so you can be a part. Now, part, as I mentioned, you can also go to the email. That's talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com. And then if you want to tweet the show, you can go to @TalkingRealToYou, @LorenzaDSmith, @Coach_L_Smith. So you have an awesome opportunity, all the social medias to contact us and be a part of it. Again, I just want to give a shout-out to those individuals taking time to check the show out. You know, I know people come on and they drop off, but I still give you a shout-out in the beginning as well as the end. We have a Carriage Patterson, and thank you so much. He's one of my former students down in Lowndes County. Thank you so much. Our co-host Lisa, she's joining us as well. We have Artavius Williams, another one of my students, one of my players back in middle school, junior high school, and also one of my fraternity brothers of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity as well. Nicole Davidson, another one of my students from McKenzie, Alabama. Thank you so much, Nicole. She's in the military, and she's serving us. She's stationed over in Georgia. Thank you for your service, Nicole Davidson. Tell everybody back in McKenzie, Coach Smith, holler at her. Everybody find out that's what they know me as, Coach Smith, as well. We also have the Queen Ministries Lewis, one of the hosts of our show, of the Shannon, Minister Shannon Show, that comes on Thursday, the 4th of the month, 4th Thursday of the month. So check her out. We're going to get her back on it. You know, some things are happening. We still want to make sure we get her, as well as Elder McKnight, to join us as well. He's the co-host. We have Reggie Roo, my nephew. Thank you, Reggie, so much. I really appreciate that. Deacon Reggie Ruth, thank you so much, sir. Donald Van Horn, thank you, Donald, so much. I appreciate you kind of giving us the ups and downs in regards to our sound. That means that we're moving in the right direction. Thank you for joining us so much, Donald. Then offering your expertise and saying we're up or we're down, we need to get better, we're going to keep the constructive thought process is so important. Those are the individuals joining us on Facebook. So far, we're going to have many others. So we have an awesome agenda for tonight, or format, entitled COVID-19, and where are we now? The question is being asked because people are still confused. Some people have gotten to the point, I'm going to say they just don't care no more because they're tired of hearing about it, but it's something we got to keep in mind. It's going to continue on. So we're going to address some things that's going on today so we can look at COVID-19. And every time we come on here, we try to focus on our mental health, and that's our important thing that we want to share our thoughts on there, because we have we have our co-host that licensed clinical social worker, and she will always observing things dealing with her students, with her parents, with her clients, and everything. And we don't ever want to just move beyond this, because we can't move, because it is the main topic of the day, whether some news outlets want to make it not main, but it is main. So we want to make sure it is. All right. We have several co-hosts that join us throughout the show, and I'll give a shout-out to them as soon as they get in. I'll give them that raving introduction. We have Lauren D. Smith, better known as Coach Smith. We thank her with the K for joining. In some cases, her line name, and remember, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, is Comedian. She's a comedian. She's a millennial as well. We also have Dr. Olivia E. Smith. We call her Dr. O, out of the state of Georgia. Mr. Cameron Giver, he joined us from time to time. And, he's working hard. I know both of those young people are in school and working as well. So we want to make sure we keep in mind that when they join us, it's a pleasure to have them here. And we thank them for taking time. We also have out of state of South Carolina, that's Greenville, South Carolina, that's Ms. Scarlett H. Black. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Dr. Olivia E. Smith, from Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, Dr. O. E. S., we'll call her Dr. Smith. Then, last but not least, this young lady hails out of that state as far north as you can get to the border of Canada, state of Ohio. You know, I heard somebody was talking about Ohio today. They said over there. I don't know whether they was on the east or the farther east coast toward the Atlantic Ocean, but they said those people over there. And I was like, what they did? They had several people. One person come in from Michigan. He was talking. And he was talking about someone from Ohio State. So they had that thing kind of going on. But as far as you can get north up to Canada, to the borders, and she decided to move as far as she could south, I guess, to the state of Florida, to the southern peninsula. I guess it was so cold up there. I was getting down here where it's warm. But I'm so glad to have an opportunity just to sit and be on the same stream, but communicate with her, share thoughts as a co-host on our Talking With You, and we do appreciate. And again, she's a licensed clinical social worker, a professional yoga instructor. And also, she's a friend for many, definitely a daughter that, and a mom is on here. I got to make sure I give her a shout-out, Leslie Levine. Shout-out, hey, mom, how you doing? None other than our co-host that's joining us so far on the show is Lisa Levine. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, feeling awesome. You know, we're going to do some things on, you know, Miracle Monday. That's what we're going to call it because we've been blessed to see another day.
Monday.
And we're going to talk about COVID-19 because whether we believe it or feel like it's over with, it's not over with. And our challenging days are ahead of us because we have a spike coming in the month of September, which is, you're talking about a week now in the month because that's flu season. One of the things I was sharing, Lisa, with one of the co-hosts on the sports show, I was saying different parts of the country are going to have to deal with this differently because of the change of the weather. Because the flu, increase in flu cases may not be as much now where our temperatures are subtropic, tropic in some cases compared to the temperatures that may be moderate or even really to the point where it drops down below freezing and snow on the ground and all that up in Ohio, up in New York, and over to Michigan, Detroit. And it's a different, the spike could be totally different. And I think that kind of adds the thought process and your medical experts said in regards to this athletic situation, talking about football. But we're going to talk about what we see as happening now, and we want to make sure we address it. And before I move on to talking about what we need to talk, we want you to call in and be a part of so you can share your thoughts with myself as well as Lisa and our co-host that's joining us from the state of South Carolina. So glad to have her every time. She's there, ready to go. And I said, this young lady, I do appreciate it because she was kind of grinding last week and she was doing some things, making sure she her duties are served and so on. So we do appreciate it. Out of Greenville, South Carolina. Remember Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, a retired administrator, a retired counselor, a retired person just love people. Because her field allowed her to do that. None other than Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
To know you all are doing fine.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Scarlett. I'm telling you, Scarlett, don't get mad at me. I'm introducing you and just forgot to take you off mute. But I made it. I got
I'm doing fine.
To get I got the last part of it. So we're so glad to have you on, Scarlett. As we look at the format for tonight and the title, COVID-19, where are we now? And that got to be the question as I was sharing and you heard me talking about, we're about to have this spike due to the change in the weather and becoming flu season. So we still have people with anxiety. We still have people with fears. You know, we still got to manage the stress we're having. You know, I look at even my family. You know, we have a lot of stress and we have a lot of anxiety. We have quite a few family members to pass, and we have to lay them to rest. Just recently on Friday we was doing. I'm sorry, on Saturday we was doing that. So we're kind of pushed to the brink. However, we still must be able to manage the stress. And as an adult, we having challenges. What you think about our children? And they're being forced into a situation or either left out of a situation. Like I said, children do need to be around their other counterparts or cohorts so they can successfully manage some things socially like they need to do. However, we still have to keep in mind with the spikes and going back to school, we have instances with an in-person service they are providing through face-to-face. Then we also have virtual or remote learning. And we have our young people have to do it. Then we have our parents and our families dealing with the stress of, I got to go back to work. Where is my daughter going to be? Where is my son going to be? I got teachers that going back, administrators going back. I got to go back and teach in this setting, and I don't know what the situation is going to be. So we have to always discuss how we can help our children and our families manage stress during this time, then build up some resiliency in regard to that. We have to do that because, you know, we're experiencing 6 months of this. And this coronavirus is not going anywhere. And we can say, well, we're going to just live with it. We're going to just do what we need to do, and whoever is no longer with us is fine. That's an attitude some people can take. That's why our hashtag One Life Matter. So we want to make sure we can address and share some things. And I want both of y'all to have an opportunity to kind of see how at this point, because we're going to know where we are now, how we can help our children. We had a lot of things that we talk about when we was going through stay-at-home orders, shelter in place. Now we open up again. We're able to do a lot of things. We got the mask orders. We got that fight. We got the stress of that. Just want to know how we can offer some things that going to help our young people, help our children, and help our families manage the stress that we're dealing with.
Where to start? One thing I'm noticing, can you guys hear?
Yes.
Yes.
Stop scaring these kids. Share, but don't scare. And I've said this many a time. There's a whole slew of things here going on. School started here last week. Now we have parents that are upset about the virtual. They don't like that the kids are on the virtual all day. They're making the class, they're making virtual like it's an actual school day. So now parents are upset and anxious about that, and the kids can't stare at the screen all day. I had many talks with parents last week about how to talk to your children about this. Just for now, we're going to be doing the virtual, get into a routine, make sure the kids are moving, when the virtual's done, whatever time, and some of it ends here at 2 or 3, I think, 3:50. Having the kids move around, a lot of kids are staying in the house. Either the parents aren't letting them out, or now the kids are too afraid to go out. This is a huge problem. I think some people are not going to get back out of the house again. You can sit in the yard. You can walk. Even the doctors are saying as long as you're not in large groups, you can be outside and be active. It is so important. If you're going to do social interactions with the kids, I know some people are like have one family friend, and then the kid is socializing, but at a distance. They're not on top of each other. Maybe they're doing something outside. But these things are important, and they're saying right now, I was just reading, someone sent me an article, there's 1 out of 4 people that are thinking about suicide. Suicide rates have gone up. It's very serious. My understanding is the drug treatment rehabilitation centers are filled to capacity. There's an increase in drug use. There's an increase in marijuana use with the kids. I'm not quite sure how they're getting marijuana right now, but that's how they're. It's a very good question that I haven't gotten to the bottom of yet, but these are not ways to handle your stress and anxiety. You have to try, other ways, whether it's breathing, whether it's counting, whether it's walking. If your children are not comfortable talking to you, don't be offended, because I know as a teen I didn't want to talk to my parents so much. No offense, Ma. Kids don't always want to open up to their parents. So it's important that you have professionals to talk with your children. Even for the parents, I'm concerned about some of the moms. Guys, we can find you assistance if you need it. It's very important that everybody has a healthy outlet. I know some people like to drink. It's okay to have a drink with your meal or, whatever it is you're doing, but don't drink because you're depressed. It increases depression. Alcohol also, if you're on antidepressants, not smart to drink. It will X out the antidepressant. Talk to your doctor about it. Marijuana, I hate to break it to everybody, is effective in some things, but it also increases anxiety and nervousness and raciness when you stop doing it. So make sure if you are doing these things as coping mechanisms, make sure you're doing it properly or under a doctor's orders. I just think there's more effective ways that we could be supporting each other And I think some people might not even know that there's services out there. There's hotlines you can call. If you don't have insurance, you know, I've done things pro bono. I go down in my rates for people that insurance I don't take. But it's very, very important. This is a life-changing situation, mentally and emotionally. And it's very important that we all get the help and support we need. Even just texting someone saying, hey, checking in, do you need anything? Letting people know that you're available, I think that's very important. All these factors combined, because, I mean, I felt bad. I had to turn 10 people away last week. Literally, I had 10. I'm at capacity, and I referred out, but, you know, it's important to get the proper help is what I'm saying. And don't sit in the house. Don't, if you're not feeling motivated, just say things like, I'm going to get motivated. Let me call someone. Let me go take a walk. Go sit outside. Get some air. At least we have that. We can go outside and get the vitamin D, which is good for us. Eating right, exercising, building our immune systems, and trying to connect as best as we can. We're all going through something different, I think, with this situation.
Awesome,
so it's
awesome.
Super important. So that's my thought.
Awesome, awesome.
I don't really have because we've given a lot of tips and we talk about it week after week on this show. I'm going to say this. I think that you need to seek resources and assistance of all kinds that you may feel that you need, and sometimes you may not know that you need. But at the same time, I want to encourage people to realize that many of us have so many strengths inside of us that sometimes we don't utilize or we don't cultivate because we don't think that we have them. And I want people to understand that you do. And sometimes when you're in a crisis situation or we're all in moments like this, we have to learn to or find a way to rise to the occasion. And this is one of those times. I've worked in the industry where sometimes we become the people doing the heavy lifting, and those who are looking to us for resources and help and assistance do not exercise or do not put forth the effort and the energy that you need to rise to those occasions. In other words, I'm hoping that people are not getting accustomed to, you know, leaning on everything and everybody else, but not finding the strength and the ways to lean on themselves. And it's hard to do for those because some can handle it a little more than others. And I'm hoping I'm making sense with this, but
you are, yes.
You know what I'm trying to say? Because I've had, you know, situations
yes.
where I have become the, I don't use the word savior, in such a way, but to the help where all of a sudden it became all of me, all of my problem. And I'm looking back to see, you can't rely on my strength all the time. You got to look deep inside and within to cultivate what you have because we have been equipped. For those of us of faith, we are equipped and we have been given the equipment and the will to do what we need to do when measures call for us to do it. And there are some who are more vulnerable than others, but there are others who need to get off the vulnerability and to do and get inside and do. There are resources that's been flashing all over social media, television media, all kinds of media. Numbers on where you can call and seek assistance and get it, but then just don't stay there in that spot. You got to find a way. We all have to find a way to get through this. Yes, it's been 6 months, and it's probably going to be 6 months more or even longer. do not fall for the snake oil treatments. Do not fall for the snake oil information, disinformation that's put out there, because you want we want an easy fix or easy way to get out of this. There is no easy way to get out of this. We have said, even on this show, from the science that I'm reading and the data I'm looking at a couple times a week, this virus is mutating. People are getting reinfected who may have had the virus before. This is called the novel coronavirus, because it is new. We haven't seen this before. We don't know how the flu season is going to affect it either, and we're going to go into the flu season. And to say that we're going to try to do things the way we've always done them is obvious. That's not working. So we're going to have to finally buckle down as Americans and decide our gut-level instinct, whatever we got to do, to try to bend this curve and to eradicate it as much as possible. This virus is not a hoax. This virus is not going to miraculously go away. And there is not a miracle cure out there. And we need to understand that. And it's okay to want to go to parties and stuff and have a good time. But the science is not on our side when we do that. Because those of us, when you get infected, you're taking it back to your communities, to your homes, and all this type of stuff. And it is fearful. So no one can underplay that and think that, well, I'll just go out and, and go down to the bar tonight and it'll be okay tomorrow. It may not be. So we've got to get, we've got to find out something inside of ourselves and whatever we need to do. To wear a mask, follow the 6 feet of distancing from the next person, and then we got to be savvy enough, care enough, strong enough, and a little bit of anger too, to try to find out what it is I need to do, and forget about drinking Clorox, putting the light up our rear ends, and all the kind of stuff that we know is not right. Though we've had people do that.
And Scarlett, you're sharing exactly what people need to hear, and I think our only problem is people not listening. But we want you to be a part of this. Share your thoughts, 347-857-4192, and you can talk to myself as well as Lisa and Scarlett in regards to your thoughts about this. And that's the next thing we want to see. I want to talk about is coronavirus disease, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, whether it's dangerous. You just shared some things that most of us are talking about, but I think we've gotten to the point that some people don't believe that because it may not infect them, that it will. And I'll use some good examples. You know, we're starting up sports now, high school sports, and we've seen in South Alabama, they already have where you're taped off, where you can't sit. You can't sit together unless you're with your immediate family. But the people just overlooked it. People didn't have a mask on. If they had it, they had it around their chin. These are kind of things that it has to be done by individual, but you also have to have individuals to enforce it. Point where the High School Athletic Association person that's in charge said that, sent out some new, guidelines where they have to follow, but before it was left to the district. And I knew it wasn't going to work at the district level because the same way when we talk about the plan to get back in school. Then we also had several college and university campuses, and I work on a campus, and I know we have to be tested. Every student is going to be tested. You have to have a negative test if you're going to plan on being there and being on that campus. But we had receive our president today. And we assume that children know better, but sometimes young people don't know. I don't say children, young people. And they go on and buy that anyway. They're going to have a welcome back situation, and it got out of hand to the point that people weren't wearing the mask and people weren't practicing social distance. So he said, it wasn't going to be no more. City of Tuscaloosa, not going to be no more. And sometimes that's what it takes that each individual, we're going to deal with block by block to say we're going to correct it, because everybody may not be doing it that way, but when it's happening, we got to address it. So this is the kind of stress we're dealing with. It's dangerous, and it may be here and will probably be here. We don't know how long, but it's not going away tomorrow. Even though you're relaxed enough to operate business, you're relaxed enough to do things, but you still got to practice what needs to be practiced in regard to safety measures. So it's dangerous. It's a killer. If not, it can affect you long term. And we said that, and a lot of people just go a deaf ear to that. They just have a deaf ear because they say, I'm so used to doing what I used to do, and I don't want to be stressed. If it's going to bring about stress in me, I don't want to be stressed about that. I'm going to move on with my life. I'm not worried about it. And that's one of the things we're dealing with, and with everybody begin to understand that it is, when it hits home and it's going to hit in some form or fashion, then we have to realize that to manage this stress, to understand it's dangerous, and it kills. It's one thing we have to accept. We're going to have to. Nobody can tell you anything that it won't, because too many people have died. Too many of my relatives has passed because of it. So I'm saying, telling you personally, one life does matter. So we have to keep that in mind when we're out here talking to people. We got to go back block by block. Just like we said, we're going to keep it real. We're going to share the thoughts as we move forth, and we're going to talk about it. I know it gets nauseous with you, but it's here. It ain't going nowhere. We can't sweep it under the rug like the national news and everybody else trying to do. We got to keep talking about it. So maybe we can get them to listen block by block. Then the call number.
My concern is that it's being normalized. As we think that people are dying. Right. And we have 175,000, 177,000 Americans have died. And millions who have been through hospitals. And we seem to think that it's no big deal.
Yep.
It's no big, it may not be a big deal to one person, but to someone who's lost a family member, a husband, a wife, a son, daughter, a mother, father, cousins, aunts, close friends, church friends. It's a big deal to them. And our arrogance as Americans, because I keep saying Americans are arrogant people, and we want it our way, our freedoms that people have fought and died for us to have, seem to get us to the point that as if we just expect it, and our comfortability. Individualized comfortability for me outweighs everyone else.
Yes.
And this is what I'm seeing now. And the fact that we do not have a national plan. It has not been a national focus. And when you start tampering with the FDA, the CDC. The NIH, which is the National Institutes of Health, and all these other national foundations who are in the fight for public safety and health, and when you start tampering with that, and they have to follow someone who is not a scientist or whatever case may be, what they dictate, I'm going to get concerned about that, because we're normalizing this thing now. And by the time that they're now projected, by the time that December 1st roll around, we may have close to 300,000 beloved Americans who have died from this this killer virus. And that's sad. And this is already the number who have lost their lives is already outnumbering a total of different wars that Americans have fought. This is not normal, folks. It's not normal. Losing one life is bad because you don't want to see anyone get sick and die. but then losing into the hundreds of thousands of people, don't let anybody tell you or anybody to lead you to believe that this is a normal practice or this is something that we should be okay about and we have been a success if this is all that we lost. You imagine 170-some thousand people?
Yep.
That's unacceptable.
Yep. And we got to make sure we focus. And again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. We would like to chat with you, Lisa, Scarlett, and myself. Give us a call so we can allow you to share your thoughts. We press one, and I'll make sure I get you on. And we'll just ask for your location or your name. You choose who, then just offer your comments. All right, in regards to universal testing, and which we're attempting to do, and vaccine dealing with COVID-19, the impact of it, is there any thoughts on that in regards to once we get a vaccine, how are we going to address this? Then we still got to do universal testing. We're talking about now, but we got to begin to look 5 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. I just want everybody's thoughts on that. Just share your thoughts.
Here's my thing with vaccines, and I think I mentioned I went to the doctor last week, and what he said to me is vaccines take several years to make. They take years. And when this vaccine comes out, it's not necessarily going to treat that strain that's out. It's kind of like the flu. He wasn't comparing COVID to the flu, but like the flu shot.
Uh-huh.
I know a number of people, when they get the flu shot, they've gotten very ill. And I know one person that almost died from it. So I think it just depends on the person, and it depends on the strain that you get. Like, I personally, I'm not getting this vaccine anytime soon because I want to see what it's all about. That's my personal, because I took the last time I took the flu shot, I was sick for a month. So I think when you're making vaccines, it doesn't take 2 to 3, 6 months. It takes, 2 to 5 years, they say, to make a vaccine.
Exactly.
So, and I think people are under this premise of, ooh, the vaccine's coming out, I can go out. I've even had kids tell me, once the vaccine comes out, then I can leave the house. And I don't think we should be saying things like that. I also think we should focus on the treatments that they are using. There are people that are surviving, and they're using different types of treatments to show. So, you know, I think we have to focus on both parts of that. You know, what we're using that's working, and giving this vaccine, let them take their time on it and make sure that it's, you know, corrected. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, I can't see
a vaccine. Yeah, the doctor said that to me too. It takes a long time, and then you have to test it, and then you've got different strains of illnesses that come out. So we just have to, err on the side of caution and educate ourselves as best as we can.
All right, we have a caller, and we want to make sure we get this caller on the line. With the last four digits of 4644, you are now live. You can give us your location and share your thoughts.
Well, I'm calling from Missouri right now. But
okay.
In the state of Missouri, you have school districts that's going to open up in person, and you have those that's going to be, you know, using alternative means like virtual. State statutes in Missouri allow parents to have whatever type of education, curriculum, books, teaching instruction they want in their school district. Now, you know, it's a funny thing. When you look at the world stats on confirmed cases and deaths, then when you look at the confirmed cases and deaths in the United States, the world is about 4%. The ratio between those who die once they have been confirmed, where in the United States it's about 3.5 to 4%. So it's no greater than the world. So I think the United States is doing a great job. when you compare it with the rest of the world. That's not me saying that. That information is on the World Health Organization website. So that's up to the parents. And you know what? I was reading one of Sweden's, and you know, I really don't like to compare the world, but this stood out. A top epidemiologist in Sweden said masks really are dangerous, may not be pervasive. Then you had Fauci say that it's okay for people to wear masks and go physically vote. Get out in that environment. And then finally, you have some sports teams or sports clubs in suburban and rural areas here in Missouri. Well, the kids are playing baseball. So it's up to the people of what they want to do. Now, they talk about blacks being disproportionately affected. And I'm sure you've heard that too. But I know you also heard that people with these underlying issues, you know, from diabetes, obesity, Herman Cain had stage four cancer. And, you know, those issues are, of course, their immune system is already being taxed when they're dealing with those situations that people have. You know, one thing that will come out of this, hopefully, that people will learn to keep their body and keep up on their physical health. And I sure do hope so. Well, it's eating, exercises, and so on and so on. So that's the comment I wanted to make. What do you think about that?
We're going to respond, and while I don't agree with quite a few of the assumptions that you've made or comments, we thank you that you have the right to make them. First of all, Herman Cain, who was Republican, had survived stage four. So he did not have cancer at the time that he died. Herman Cain went to the rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and did not take any type of safety precautions. He and those with him were in those images have gone around the world, were sitting there in an arena, close together, as if nothing has happened, and not wearing a mask. He did not believe in masks. He also fell for followed the disinformation where it wasn't that, I won't say important. I just said he just didn't have one on, and no one around him had one on. In that same arena where the local officials had placed stickers on seats to practice this distancing, the campaign came in, and their folks removed the stickers so everyone could sit like they normally would during normal times. This is not normal in normal times. In reference to the countries that you have referenced, first of all, those are smaller populations than the United States of America. They do not have the population size that we do, nor do they have where you have 50 states in the United States of America, where everybody is pretty much doing their own thing. Those countries, smaller than U.S., had national policies that they followed. As a result of that, they were able to bend the curve and able to flatten it to the point where their cases were a lot smaller than the United States of America. In this country, we have not had such a national policy, period. We've had a lot of disinformation. Yeah. We've had 50 states do 50 different things, and not only in the 50 states, but also in the cities and counties in a particular state. doing different things. So nothing's being coordinated.
Yeah, can I comment on that too, please, before you hang up on me? But,
no,
but I'm sorry to break in. I just want to make sure. Go ahead. Go ahead, ma'am.
No, and basically that's what has happened. So as a result of that, there was a blue state and a red state strategy. As long as the blue states headed by Democratic governors and officials, you're kind of like left. The citizens kind of like, you know, well, they'll you know, be on their own. And then when it was a forecast that this virus was going to affect every state and every area, well, you know, the stuff is out of the barn by then. We should have been putting a national plan together back in January, early February. We don't have a national plan. So, like New York, where you have a governor who had been a national leader in another administration, knew that he had to get control of the virus, and you really still don't have control of it, but to bend the curve. And if we all had been doing that, practicing the guidelines that had first been put out by the CDC and all these other medical personnel and concerns, we would have a better look at it now. Now, you talk about the 4%. Let me finish. You talk about the 4%. The 4% in terms of that's misleading also. And I'm going to say it again, and you go back and look it up. You count the number of Americans who died in Vietnam. You count the number of Americans who died in some of the other conflicts that we've been involved in around the world. You count the number of folks who died in 9/11. It comes nowhere near 177,000 Americans in this country, to the point where funeral homes are not able to process the bodies, and where they've had to put refrigerated trucks on American streets in the United States of America in order to hold bodies before they can even bury them, and then burying them in mass places if they're not claimed by a family member. But then the family member can't come to the hospital and even say goodbye or hold a dying person's hand. That's sad. So now, we can put statistics out.
Scarlett. Can we let him jump in?
Yeah, go ahead and whatever you're going to say, but I just want to finish this one thought.
Thank you.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I didn't say, I said that you can do the math yourself. Look at your confirmed cases and look at the deaths. In the United States, you have, what, 150,000 deaths? Take the confirmed cases, take the deaths and divide them by the confirmed cases. It equals to about 3.5% to 4%. On the whole entire world, which has had about 700,000 confirmed cases, I believe. I'm sorry, about 700,000 deaths.
Yes.
Take the confirmed those deaths and divide it by the confirmed cases, and it's about the same as it is in the United States. I didn't say a smaller country. I said the entire world. Another point. You had other people there at that convention, and nothing happened to them. I've told you that we have sports teams, sports clubs in Jefferson County, Missouri, right outside St. Louis. Well, they're attending baseball games, and people are sitting and standing as natural. One other point. The federal government has no jurisdiction to tell the people in the United States that they have to wear masks. They do not have that jurisdiction. That falls upon your state and your local governments, and then they can only do it when people are visiting or utilizing spaces or businesses that require a license by either the local government or the state government. Other than that, you can't make people wear a mask. So whatever the situation is, it is what it is. You got a mayor in New York said that.
Did you just say it is what it is?
You
like
got
we've heard,
well, ma'am, can
before.
I say what
it
I got to say, please?
Is. go ahead.
Is it okay if I finish?
One, yeah, go. Yeah, you go ahead. Right
is it
here.
Okay
I
that
to make
I
sure
finish?
You heard what you just said yourself.
Well, it is what it is. That's what the Constitution says. Article 1 is the Bill of Rights. The Constitution has no on-off switch. Those are your Bill of Rights. Now, you had a mayor in New York City, since we wanted to go there, that said it's okay for protesters not to wear a mask. You in California, they got you got a governor, Nunes, is saying that if people are in their houses, they have to wear a mask. They saying that if you fellowship, that is, if you have a Bible class at your house, everybody's got to wear a mask. That is stretching it. He has no jurisdiction of what people do in their homes. And that's what you see out of some of these anarchist rule communities and jurisdictions. But I still say this, and I don't want to argue, because whether I argue or not, people are going to do what they want to do. Parents have a right to have their children in an environment that they want. Nobody knows best than the parents.
Okay.
See, first of all, you're
no, I ain't no first of all. I'm done. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're putting out disinformation, and that's part of the problem. Because, first of all, the governor name in California is not Nunes. He's a representative in the House of Representatives. The governor there is Governor Newsom. He has not said any of that, what you just said, quoted. In the New York, the mayor has not said that. New York had and a decree by the governor of the state of New York who said that to wear a mask in public gatherings, and we've talked about this, and these are the CDC guidelines that they were following. So none of that, that's disinformation, and while we appreciate your comments, but we're going to call you on it when it's disinformation, and it truly is.
Awesome, awesome. All right, the call-in number again is 347-857-4192. We want you to call in, share your opinion. That's what the show is all about. Everybody sharing their opinion. We can agree to disagree, and that's what it's all about. We thank the caller from Missouri. It's not his first time calling. He called.
No, he was on there last week.
We appreciate it. You know, he calling back and forth, and he's sharing his opinion. That's what this show is all about. It's just plain old life. Everybody has a point of view, and we want to make sure. So you be a part of it. Call in, as I gave you the number earlier. You talk to Lisa, talk to Scarlett, talk to myself. We're excited about having the chance to have you here. And I have several people on Facebook sharing their thoughts, and I do appreciate you doing it as well. And I flash down, stroll down, trying to get a lot of things. I can't get it all, but I do appreciate you sharing your thoughts as well on Facebook. We're going to quickly, because our time is pressing, and we want to kind of move forward. Yes, even though it's just, you know, we still got a few more minutes, about 30 minutes, but we still want to kind of touch bases on some things since we're talking about school. Now, when we talk about school, how do we go about protecting our young people in school? Because, you know, I have some concerns that I would like to share. First of all, and I'm going to say in the state of Alabama, because that's where I am. You know, students are remotely learning, and we have our pros and cons about that. My biggest concern, not so much as the student remotely learning or virtual learning, is that the teachers are going back in those buildings because they have to go every day and be in those buildings, and none of those teachers are being tested to see whether or not either one of them have coronavirus. They are having faculty meetings, and everybody's sitting beside each other. They don't have masks on. So there's another thing. It's hard. We become to the point where we become hypocritical. Sometimes we require other people to do it. And even in our facility, we're keeping children out of there for adults to go back. Everybody got to have something put in place. I just want y'all thoughts in regards to these employees going back to the schools and still not practicing the safety measures that we're asking everybody else to do, and not having leadership demanding and making sure they follow in regards to, as myself, I serve as a principal. If we got something, we're going to do it because I believe in doing what's right. What is going on in regard? What's your thoughts on in regards to the faculty and staff not being required to be tested, even though students are not there, but they're still going into the building, spending 8 hours in there from 7:30 in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon. What's your thoughts, team? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I know one girl, she works at like on charter school,
mm-hmm.
but she said when they're in there, they have to have the masks on. Like for the meeting, it's required. And even if you're eating,
mm-hmm.
she said you can pull the masks off, but she told me that you do have to distance. Now that's in Boston, that's not down here. So I think, yeah, what has to be done is protocols have to be put in place and rules and dismissal time. I heard a story about a dismissal time earlier today that what didn't go so well because it wasn't planned. So you're supposed to have the kids apart, and the kids were not totally, everyone had masks and face shields on, but they were still not totally distanced all the way. So I think before anybody goes back into a school, you have to have a plan. You know, you have to put plans in place and put rules in place. And I think where you're going to run into the bumps is with some people who don't feel that they have to wear a mask. You know, there's some people that don't, like that gentleman was saying, you know, why should I wear a mask? It's my right. You know, that's where we're running into situations. Yeah, the masks protect from the saliva, you know, contracting or, you know, keeping it from spreading. But not everybody believes it. And I think, you know, whatever the school district is or, you know, whoever's in charge, they have to implement the rules in place.
Okay. We have a call on the line, and we want to. And this is an individual with the last four digits 3204. We have a caller. Share your location, if your name you want to, and offer your thoughts in regard to what we're discussing.
I am from Columbus, Ohio, and my name is Elisha Ba, and I have a question and I have a comment.
Yes.
And I would like to thank the lady. I think her name is Lisa, right? Am I right, Lisa, the guest speaker tonight, or am I right?
We have the co-host Lisa and Scarlett on here as well. Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Okay,
go ahead,
Lisa. I really like the things that she is saying about the coronavirus and. She's putting it out there that it's deadly and it's dangerous and it is not to be played with, and it's a lot of misinformation about what's going on, how America is handling the situation. But my question is this, and then I'm going to make a comment. My question is, do anybody on this panel know exactly where the coronavirus came from? And why is it here in the earth?
No, this panel really don't know where it came from and why
I asked that. Let me let the panel know why I asked the question. It's because we have so many different people saying, oh, it's this and it's that, and it come from the government, it come from here, it come from the 5G, it come from China. Do anybody really on this panel know and understand this deadly, and it is a very deadly disease, where it come from and why is it here in the earth?
We understand it being deadly, where it come from, we don't know, but do you have those thoughts? Can you share that with us and share it with all the listeners?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I do. I do. Because 1 year ago in 2019, about September, October of 2019, I'm a very spiritual person. I believe in God so much. And I'm a prophet. But I'm not a Christian church prophet. I am a real prophet from the real God that created the earth. He told me in 2019 that millions of people would die, okay? At that time, he didn't tell me what they was going to die from. but he told me millions would die in 2020. That was his exact words. Millions would die in 2020. And as he continued to share with me why millions was going to die, he told me that the reason was that because everybody in this earth and in this world are serving the wrong God, and they got a lot of idolatry in their life and a lot of things that they're doing that he is not happy with. So the coronavirus is spiritual. It's spiritual. Anybody in a natural mind that's operating in the natural, they would never, ever figure it out because it is spiritual. They don't know how to make a vaccine because they don't know what it is and they don't know where it comes from. So it's very spiritual, and, yes, more people will die. More people will die. And he told me, the mask can't save you. That's what he told me. The mask can't save you, but you wear it because you're around people that you don't know that might have it. So I don't want nobody to feel like a mask, you put a mask on, it can save you, because it's spiritual. It's really God is killing people and taking people's lives because he's very, very, very upset and angry with all the stuff that's going on in the earth that he's not happy with.
Awesome.
So, and then you got to look at the, and I'm going to leave it there. If anybody have any questions, I'm open to ask whatever.
All right, we do appreciate you. We're going to keep you live, and if there's any questions or comments, because we're being broadcast on Facebook as well, so we have people typing in comments as well. So if it will, I'll make sure to help you, and we'll read it out to you. But we do appreciate your thoughts and everything, and we appreciate you sharing this with us, because this is what we have to understand is this and having an individual. We're just talking plain old life issues, and we appreciate you joining our show and being a part of it so much. So, like I say, I'm going to keep you live. But we're really getting to the point at just about at the end of the show. And if any question comes in over Facebook, any statement come in, I'll make sure, even if I put you on mute for a second, and we'll let you come back and be live because you still have your button up, okay?
What was the question before you took the caller from Missouri? You had a question already that you were asking us. Lisa had already responded. And what was the question again?
I think it was in regards to protecting our children at school, in regards to how we can protect our children at our school, with everybody going back to school. And that was something we was leading into.
Our school started this week, and today they had a school on that every child had a mask on in the classroom. The teacher had a mask on and also a face shield, and they only had 10 kids in the room, so every child was given their own individual table, and they're still monitoring. They're going to see how this goes. This only happens a couple times a week. And they're going to monitor the science and the data to see what adjustments that need to be made. But more importantly, we talked about this last week, that schools and districts and the superintendents and state superintendents and things of that nature need to have a plan before going into the schools. And Lisa, in Florida, I thought I heard the state superintendent down in Florida was not recommending any of that, but the individual districts were going on with their plans, but it was not recommended in Florida by the Florida State Superintendent. Did you hear that?
In Alabama, the same thing. The superintendent really didn't have a roadmap. It's up to each district, and it's like that just about everywhere. Each district is being able to make a determination. It's not some state that they're coming up with, and that's what we're dealing with as a whole. And I said something about
sports. The point that I'm making is that when you have everybody speaking with so many different voices, and so much disinformation going out there, you've got to check it, and you got to make sure that you check disinformation, because this is what's not helping our numbers here in this country.
And Scott, I want to add something else to what you're saying. I just think that I operate pretty much in the black and white. I'm old school. Some people say I need to change. I can't operate in the gray, but our society is beginning to operate and has been doing for a long while, especially in education. And that's why I think these state superintendents, even these governors and all these people, there's a fight in Atlanta, as you know, over where Atlanta mayor saying that she want to have face guards, and then you got the governor saying no. We operate like we're so political.
Well, he sued her, but he dropped a lawsuit.
Yeah, we have to get out this political part and stop trying to operate too afraid to be sued, too afraid. You make decisions, make tough decisions, and I think that's where we are in this country as a whole. We all 50 states going to operate like they want to operate.
Well, that's what's been happening.
We got an Oregon deal, got to, that is the biggest problem we have. And that's why when we try to mandate things like that, it's hard because these governors can say, no, I don't want to do it that way. And they think they got a better way because they got their expert telling. Because I tell everybody right now, nothing personal with the public health man in the state of Alabama. I don't listen to him no more because it seems like he's all over the place. He's all over the place. But it's like that in all 50 states. That's what we got to understand. That's what the challenge we're having now. And we just, because everybody doing their own thing, and they're not going to, they'll fight you because they want to run their thing because we've been, arrogant people, correct? We've been able to do it our way. I'm the governor. I run it like I want to run it. Can't nobody tell me what to do. So this is what we're challenged with.
And if you're trying to please somebody for political purposes, that's not good.
I believe they're the government doing it.
That's not good. If you're trying to do it for political purposes, it's not good.
Yeah, and every government in some form is doing it, whether it's for one party or not. I just think that's the biggest problem. Nobody want to take the weight of this situation and make decisions. They're like I talked about Tuscaloosa, the city of Tuscaloosa made a decision. They made a decision. They had opened the campus and everything up the city, and people wasn't wearing no masks, but the campus had to wear the mask. They want to keep the city open. They said for 14 days, all their bars and their restaurants and stuff going to be closed. You have to make decisions. Those in that city mayor and the president of the University of Alabama made that decision. That's what we have to do. Sometimes we have to be old school, and we have to hit it from on the ground. We can't wait on anybody else to do it. And I think that's the biggest thing we have in this country. That's just where
I see. I believe in truth.
I don't operate in the gray.
No, I don't either. I'm old school too, but I believe in truth. And there is no fake truth. Either it's dangerous or it's not. Either it kills or it doesn't. Either we're going to be patriots and patriotic and care about our fellow citizens or we're not. That's just plain old-fashioned truth.
Yep, exactly. I'm sorry, I was reading. An educator had typed something in on Facebook, and I was trying to read what they was saying in regards to educators not having any protection. And I was talking a little bit about that earlier when the school, what its teachers are not being required to test. They're not required to have a negative test to come back to be in that building. And this person was talking about the direct contact they're having. No one sometimes, dealing with COVID-19, some may have the mask, may have the mask on their chin. You know, so we have so much going on that's challenging bending the curve because we got so much individuals don't believe that they have to wear, that they don't have to do this. And that's the biggest concern. But 347-857-4192. Share your thoughts on it. We want you to talk with Lisa. Want you to talk to Scarlett. I may have lost Lisa, but I got her off the internet. Now she's live on Blog Talk Radio. So Lisa's on Blog Talk Radio now. So
you and Lisa.
I didn't get
the
comment about
week.
That one caller.
every week.
Yeah, well, no, she chose to leave this time.
Oh, she chose to leave that time. You didn't drop
off. No, I don't. My phone froze. It was weird, but my phone had been freezing all day.
But,
you know,
but
we were supposed to have a hurricane here. Did you know that? Did you know we were supposed to have a hurricane?
Yes, well, yeah, two hurricanes.
So it's been windy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mark,
it's always
something down here,
I'll tell you guys.
Yeah. We got it coming
up. I need to go back to Cleveland.
And Laura, those are two we're looking at hitting down in New Orleans and Houston. Yes. And possibly going
to
affect in our area in Alabama as well. So, we have a lot of things, a lot of going on. I know we had a call on there as they were speaking as a prophet. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts. We're getting to the closing of the time. And any other thoughts we want to share for the good of the order, I always say, before we get ready to close this out. I know we're going out a little early, but it's all good. Our technology is like it's raining. It's about to rain with the rain. The storm is acting up down here, too, as well. And it's causing my things to act up, too. Yes, we're being affected by Marco. As well as Laura as well.
What's the name of the other one? Marco and what now? Marco and
Laura.
What's the name of the other one?
Laura.
Laura. Okay.
Yeah, we've been, because one of them is heading direct hit very soon, but kind of challenging the waters down on, down in New Orleans, Louisiana. And he said, and that's Marco, it's Marco, I believe. And then Laura is 48 hours behind us. So both of them
on the gulf.
So, we're losing our signals around here. I'm still hanging on. I'm still holding on, y'all. So that's why I said we're going to get off here in a minute. So I want to lose everybody completely. But I do thank everybody for joining us. We had an awesome just plain old talking about life issues. Everybody, we got several people adding their thoughts in here now. And I
can you read some of the thoughts?
There's a lot of thoughts tonight.
Can you read some of the thoughts?
You want me to read them all, Scarlett?
Can you read a few?
Deacon Reggie Roof said, but God got control of everything. We need not read our Bibles that God got us. And everybody typing. You got to remember they're typing so fast. Got us to follow, do right by him. He will do right by us. God said, don't put another God before him, and we do. This is what the deacon is saying. Dion said, but I like, I say last time, I'm not sure, maybe I have to go back up. We wobble, but never fall down.
Yeah.
Persevere.
He's right. Good attitude.
COVID-19. COVID-19. He was talking about COVID. I'm reading from the bottom up, y'all. So if I'm not getting to it,
you got to read from the top down.
Made a statement first. I didn't go all the way to the beginning. Go back to, and this is my niece right here. She's an educator, and she's talking about no protection.
Some of them you might not
want to
read.
and talking about the contact in the building. You're having a lot of direct contact, and no one is really practicing safety measures inside the building where the educators are. They're not practicing that. They're just doing like doesn't matter. Then we have Andrew. Andrew says gummies are coming next. Okay, Andrew. Thank you. We needed that laugh.
Oh my God.
We're living in a time of sorrow. Okay, that's Queen. Minister Lewis. Let me kind of go up a little bit. Donald Van Horn said, I say again, nuts. Come on now. And I think he was just sharing some thoughts there. That's it. And let me see what Dion said again. This is slow moving, catastrophic, which leads to plans that not nationally cohesive. 9-1-1 joke. I'm trying to see the whole nation. There was cohesiveness that crossed economic, racial, and cultural lines. and he had a few other things here. Not saying I'm not going to read that. We had quite a few things. I'm trying to give everybody an opportunity. Again, Dion said the show was addressing mental health and COVID-19. Now we're into opinions, vaccine, and treatment. Oh, yeah, the show, come on. That. Thank you, Dion. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Dion.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Dion, so much. Then we got new. Okay, Andrew. New York is a, what do you say, cluster? FUCK.
Don't even say it.
A cluster of what?
A cluster, you know what?
And he said, New York, seriously? BS. No, just said BS.
I think Florida's worse than New York.
He bit the curb because he killed 100 of people. Now, this is what Andrew said. We got several people sharing their thoughts. We appreciate. Can't read all of them. Donald said, America is stupid. That's why it won't go anyway. We just got, and you know, look like I lost. Man. Come on, what's going on here? Oh,
I'm
going to
read
them
next time.
Oh, okay. We got a lot of them on here now. We have a lot of thoughts on here. And I appreciate everybody sharing their thoughts. However, you know, when those individuals join us, we want them to share their opinion. It's just plain old life issues. And some people.
But we also have to be careful that it's not disinformation. Because we don't want to be, we don't want to incur, we just don't want to help put that out there. And while we appreciate the thoughts and comments, you have to tell truth.
We have to remember now that may be their truth, and we got to remember.
Yeah.
I just want
and
to
every
might be their truth, but
everybody
we, but well,
yeah.
Okay, but.
Right. What I'm saying, the opinion of the show is not ours.
The opinion, it's not our opinion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if it's
not
real disinformation with facts and figures and stuff, not going to fly with me.
Scarlett, are you on Facebook, Scarlett? You should come look on Facebook sometimes. You wouldn't believe some of the things.
Yeah.
Like, I stay off.
Oh, yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Business.
I got over
3,000
members.
It's very disturbing, some of the things I've seen on here. It's scary because you're scaring people.
You're right.
And I don't even think it's I think what happens is people get upset or they see something and boom, let me go on Facebook and post this. And you don't even know if it's accurate or not.
But then we got a lot of bots and stuff coming in from outside America also putting out, you know, information out there too that's not right. And that's on purpose.
Right.
Exactly. When you have that social media, you have it available. All right. We have about.
And it never goes away.
That's true, Lisa. That's true.
People don't get it. They don't get it. It never goes away.
They don't get it.
Ladies, let's close this and share your thoughts as you close. And then we'll be ready to get out of here. And we appreciate everybody joining us. Whoever's going to be first, share your closing thoughts.
Mine is brief. This was a very interesting show tonight.
Very interesting.
Very,
very
interesting.
Interesting show. Very.
That's all.
Thank you so much.
That's all I can say. And I thank you for being with both of you tonight. I'm grateful for that.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lisa. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, we do. I gotta stop laughing, Lisa. Crazy. We thank you very much as always. It's particularly the members of the Divine Nine who are always joining us and with us, and we thank the listening audience also, and for your comments, even some of the ones you've read. And we've gotten, because sometimes you need to have humor too. That's part of survival. You got to find a way to find, the sun and a smile, even in dire situations. And sometimes when we kind of crack up, it's kind of a way to release the tension and to release the fear that you may be feeling. So don't be afraid to laugh, and don't be afraid to smile and to just kind of, you know, let it go. because you're going to hear all sides. But I'm hoping and praying that, if nothing else, that when it comes to statistics, comes to numbers, it comes to general information that you know is not real and you know is not true, you need to make sure that it's checked and not continue to be spread as something that's real and true. It's called disinformation, and we need to be aware of that. So thank you again for joining us tonight.
Awesome, awesome. I thank the team for joining us, and Lisa as well as Scarlett. We just come at you, we come hard. We're real, and we have no problem with sharing our thoughts. And we let people call in. That's what we want, callers to call in and share your thoughts. And, you know, whether we agree or disagree, that's your opinion, and it's not the opinion of the show. And we want to make sure we share everything, just plain old life issues. All the people on Facebook, I do appreciate you joining us. And we had many thoughts on there. We had a lot of people join. And I still want to go through it right quick and still give them another shout-out, even though I read some of their thoughts. We had, from the start, we had Deacon Reggie Roof joining us, my nephew. Thank you so much. Then we have Donald Van Horn. Thank you so much as well. Queen Ministress Lewis, thank you for joining us. Nicole Davidson, one of my former students, she's in the military, and she's joining because I've said this several times every week, and I thank you so much, Nicole. She's in, for your service of this country. Thank you so much. Artavius Williams, one of my former students, coaching football, taught him as well, and also he's a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Then we have Karis Patterson. I was his administrator just recently, graduated several years, about 4 years back. He's now working in law enforcement, security. Thank you so much, Arcarius. We also have Latay Pickett. Latay was on one of our early shows, the beginning of this, when it was real talk. And we do thank Latay for stepping in and out, checking us out. She has a ministry called Inspire to Inspire. And she talked about it, and she's doing some awesome things there. We do appreciate Latay for joining us as well. We also have Yvette Smith, which is my biological sister. Thank you. The youngest one of the bunch. We thank you so much for joining us. Let me move down. And we have Coach Smith, one of our co-hosts with the Cape. However, I told you she's in school, got a job. So sometime I guess you got to flip it and try to listen when you can't talk. So we do appreciate it. She's in grad school doing some things. We have also strolling. Andrew Jokes, thank you, Andrew, so much. Andrew was off the chain a little bit tonight, so he was kind of sharing his thoughts. And I do appreciate it. And Lisa, you talked with Andrew. Dion, Andrew also showed up on in the background. Lisa.
Andrew was on.
He did.
I was surprised.
Yeah, he came up and waved and went back out of the background. Thank you, Andrew, so much. We have Mark Sleeper. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining. My niece, the teacher, the educator, she was on the show one time as well. If y'all remember, that's Tamika Robinson. She was on here. We was talking about some things going on, and she shared her thoughts on that. And as one of the little special guest experts, matter of fact. Thank you so much, Mika. So much. All right. I did say Dion Allen. I got it. I may not say it to him, but Dion is offering a lot of thoughts in here. Thank you, Dion, so much. Thank you so much. Strolling. You got to realize a lot of people was making some comments tonight. I do appreciate it. Be nice if they just go call in and share. And last but not least, joining us is my and Scarlett, our frat brother, the coach over at Alabama State University of the track and field, as well as cross country, has about 43 championships, SWAC championships.
Wow.
None other than Richard Bean, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. So he's joining us as well. Thank you, Richard, so much for taking time. I know we all working through this process. You lost a spring opportunity to win another championship because they, you know, when COVID hit, they canceled all spring sports.
Mm-hmm.
But he had already won a cross country
which was like his seventh or eighth in a row. He won that in January. He was getting ready for outdoor. However, we canceled that. So he's ready to get back with this new year. And, again, and he's also been a guest on our show as well. He's been a guest on the sports show. Thank you so much. Those are the individuals who joined us. We had an awesome time tonight just talking about plain old life issues. And like I said, the hashtag One Life Matter, we have to practice that. We just don't see that. We have to make sure everybody's life matters. Make sure your life matters. Make sure your family members. So we got to practice all the safety measures that's needed. Sometimes we forget about stay at home because we're able to get out and go because we got a mask on. But that's part of it. That's number four. Now, you remember, you get a mask on. It gives you that sense of mental protection as well as protection as well about not picking up those droplets. Just wash your hand. Use some soap and warm or hot water to wash your hands. If not, hand sanitizer. Then you stay 6 feet socially, 6 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet, whatever you feel comfortable. Because some people are so relaxed. I was at the store and the guy walked up. Hold up, man, you got to back up 6 feet. They forgot the 6 feet still in existence. So those are the kind of things you have to practice. Then last but not least, as a friend told me, you get a dose of this every morning, stay home, you'll be fine. If you can stay home, stay home. That's what we're talking about. That's how you're going to survive this. Get that dose of stay home. You ain't got to be out in the street. You don't have to be doing that. If you don't have to go to work, you don't just go and have to go run over to here, run over here. You know, I look at the restaurants over the weekend, packed to capacity. And that's one of the plays Dr. Fauci says that is spread. The spread is greater in that place. That's to each his own, but one life matters. The second hashtag is communicate for understanding. That's what we want you to do when you call in this show and share your thoughts, if not just listen to the show. We want you to keep on grinding. We just want you to keep on grinding, doing what's right to keep one life to make sure it matters. Then last but not least, in regards to hashtag responsible. Hashtag responsible. It's time to be responsible so we can move in a direction that maybe one that we're going to blunt this curve. If not, we're going to still be dealing with this years and years, which we could be anyway, because many of us are flu, SARS, and all this. But this is a different strain now, people. This virus is nothing to play with. But we want to make sure you understand. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about your mental capacity. We're talk about education. That's what it's all about. It's been awesome tonight. And as we close it out, ladies, we did an awesome job tonight. Both Scarlett and Lisa, I do appreciate y'all again. And we're going to continue to make it do what it do as we get to where we need to be. We're going to just move forward. We're going to strive day from day to day and look at our hashtag. And one other thing before we go, Lisa, if you, in regards to we're still doing the face mask design competition. Lisa?
Yes, sir. I have to make the post up. I have it all written up. I just need to do one other thing.
Okay. And she's going to post up, and you can create the design.
I'm
going to
post it.
For Facebook. Yeah.
Something funny, creative. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have some fun. We need some fun. Right?
Yeah, 9 seconds. So let's make sure, just check with her, check on my page as well as her page, as well as the Willology page. We're going. It's 90 seconds. Been awesome tonight. And then I tell you, as we leave, we said thank you so much, but we love you, and there's a thing you can do about it. So have an awesome rest of the weekend. We go.
He leads me beside the still waters.
Dr. Lowe
shows. Restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. And sometimes your soul doesn't get the notice. Has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister, Leandria, here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.